Oh, sister, shit smelling, right?
Yeah, what was it?
Washing machine.
Really?
Yeah, the out thing. I'm guessing the out tube. You know, like it goes out. It goes out somewhere and is under there somewhere.
That's mad.
I don't mean like under, just under, I mean like.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's, yeah, it's got to be that. We've sussed every time we use the washing machine. So, arc back to the Lucas Woodland episode where that poor bastard had to have a whiff of terrible smell.
Yeah.
It's because of the washing machine.
Oh. So, fixed now? It's all sorted?
Oh, no, it's not fixed.
Oh, no.
No, it's not fixed. God, no. Not at all. But we know what it is, so we're slightly closer to getting it fixed.
That's one step.
Yeah, you know. It's better than ripping all of the floor up to try and find out what it is, because we've got an idea of what it is now, so... Yeah.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast.
Sapnin. You are listening to episode 22 of Sapnin Podcast with Sean Smith and my good friend Morgan Richards.
It's me. I don't know about you,
ooh,
but I'm feeling 22, as Taylor Swift would say, because this is episode 22 of Sapnin Podcast.
Is that what? So you went all the way to that. Just because we're on episode 22, you had to bring Taylor Swift reference into it.
Yeah, because it's the only chance I'm going to get in it, really.
I'm sad you've had that chance, and I'm sad you've taken that chance, to be honest. Too late now, we've started this. This week's guest is the fantastic Tom Jenkins. What can we say about Tom? Tom is a Welsh lad from Pontypridd.
Correct.
He was in a band called Said Mike. Correct.
Yes.
He was in a band called Straight Lines.
Correct.
Correct. He's got a fantastic voice.
Correct.
And he's a lovely, lovely chap. Correct. We should just fact check him constantly. No, he's a lovely chap.
As mentioned, he's been in a couple of bands that were really big and vocal point in the South Wales scene when we were both big fans of it. Yeah,
Straight Lines and Said Mike.
Yeah. And he's just released a new project of his solo work that has a full band. We'll get into all that in just a bit, but we thought he'd be a perfect person to come on the podcast, share his stories about band life and this new project, and really just give you the down low of his life and everything in between.
Yeah, he was very open, and it was one of the most interesting chats we've had for me, personally.
Yeah, not to spoil anything, but one mad thing that does come up is that he took a time away from music for a little while to go to New Zealand and shear sheep.
Yep.
So
you can take the man out of Pontypridd, but you can't take the Pontypridd out of the man because still yearning for sheep.
Yes, and you'll hear all about these tales in just a little bit.
Sheep barber. Good job.
Good.
Anyway, yeah. So, as we said, you're listening to episode 22 of Sapnin Podcast. Find us on social media at Sapnin Pod on both Twitter and Instagram. Give us feedback about the show so far.
Yeah, let us know if there's anyone in particular you'd like us to have on future episodes. We've been seeing a lot of people just taking it into their own hands and demanding people are coming on the podcast.
Some people have gone too far, but we'll hold them back. But yeah. So, yeah, check out our socials at Sapnin Pod on Twitter and Instagram. Was there anything else, Morgan?
Yes, Patreon.
Ooh!
We love the Patreon. If you'd like to help support the podcast in any way, then Patreon is probably the best way to do
it. Right, let's not do the long garb, right? Let's just say this.
Okay.
The community, the Facebook group community thing that we've started, the Sapnin community group, is brilliant, right? Everyone in there is having a laugh. And all you have to do is become a member of the lowest, cheapest tier to become a member of that community. And yeah, it's a great time. It's 90% of people bullying me, 10% championing you.
Yep.
And
I had a great comment from some people saying how good my eyebrows looked, and that just made my weekend the
best.
Which
really helps a podcast, I find, how good your eyebrows look.
I've never thought about my eyebrows before.
You've never thought of your eyebrows? No. You've never looked in the mirror and gone, oh, there's my eyebrows, or, oh, can I do the Rock eyebrow?
No, I meant if my eyebrows are good or bad. I don't know. Okay. It's never come across to me, but it's great to be reinsured that
these
my eyebrows are
feeding
good.
The ego, man.
But yeah, if you'd like to support the podcast, that's a great way to do it. The group is a perfect thing.
A perfect creatives we are. Right. A perfect thing. No,
it's getting it's funny, it's really funny, and people have made friends out of it. It's just outstanding to
people
be
have
a
met
part
up
of.
At gigs.
Yeah.
Together.
You're going to have top laughs in it about the podcast and other things that have no way, shape or form related to the podcast.
Yep.
So yeah, patreon.com/sapnin, and there's also loads of other different tiers and exclusives you can get for rewards of supporting us. So please check that out.
Right. Anyway, let's move on, is there? Let's get into Tom's.
Let's just have all the mad tales of sheep-shearing, band life and music from the wonderful Thomas Jenkins.
Yes, here we go. Tom Jenkins, Sapnin! Don't really need to do it, the Sapnin bit, right? Because it's going to say Sapnin now when we all come together. Oh, wait, there's a music bit first, so it should be all right.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast. Alongside my good friend, John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Sapnin,
but.
Ooh, and he's added a butt.
I'm an expert.
Nice. This is episode 22 of Sapnin Podcast with myself, Sean Smith, and my good friend Morgan Richards. And this week's guest is the fantastic Tom Jenkins.
Hello.
Yes.
Mystery guest. Everyone's like, who the fuck's this guy?
Not at all. I'm sure. Look, you'd be surprised how many people we've had listened to other ones who hadn't heard of any, like, hadn't heard Holding Absence. We have had people saying they'd never heard a Junior and stuff, and they've checked all these bands out and they love them. So.
Yeah, I think it's just they're enjoying people's stories and different perspectives on their musical careers and stuff. So,
Cool.
I'm sure you've got a few stories to share with us anyway.
Just a couple.
Yeah, well, first off, let's kick off with things you've done in the past then, Tom.
Well,
I don't mean criminal activities now. I mean bands and musical endeavours.
I guess Straight Lines would probably be the most popular project I guess we'd done. We had a little school band called Said Mike, kind of like the Eddie the Eagles of the South Wales music scene. He's like, yeah, we were like, I mean, we were quite a bunch of like chunky boys back then, and like when, you know, the emo thing was just like taking off, and it was like everyone's like wearing skinny jeans. I remember you'd have like a little quote on your MySpace page, and I was too fat for emo. But yeah, it was, you know, they were like fun. It was like a band we formed in school, and we ended up playing Taste of Chaos, which was, there was one funny story. I remember going up to, I think it must be like my 19th birthday, going up to Dallas Green, and I was like, oh, will you have my demo? He was like, dude, you've tried to give it to me like 3 times. And I was just like, oh my God. Yeah, it was just carnage.
Is that the same Taste of Chaos where did Riso get kicked out by Johnny Phillips?
I think it was either Riso or Hilly, who was our, you know, guitar tech.
That's what it was. It was Hilly,
how many friends can you get backstage?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the one, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that happening. I remember Johnny, he said something to Johnny, he just started talking to Johnny. And then Johnny just flipped and was like, right, security, get him out of here.
Yeah.
And then I remember him, Blotto he was, like, he was super
drunk.
Yeah,
we all were. I mean, we were like, yeah, like 19, and it was just obviously the biggest, it was like the motor point as it is now. I think it was like Taking Back Sunday or headlining, and yeah, we were just, yeah, just kind of got a bit excited and a bit silly, really. So I remember some of they were like, yeah, you'll never play another SJM concert. I was like, God, it's only our first arena show. Fucked it up already.
No, I remember I think it was Illy who was out. Yeah, he was outside going, I've ruined it for Sad Mike. They can never do another show now.
We ruined it for ourselves. It was fine. I don't know. We didn't take ourselves too seriously, but, you know, it was kind of fun days when we come to Merthyr and buying our first van up here. I see it like, obviously, I don't know, like, I guess it's kind of weird these days. Now getting back into music, it's like, yeah, you concentrate on, like, getting on playlists and whatever. But, like, back then, it was like, right, got to buy a van, got to play anywhere in the world.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. If we can offer a gig anywhere for any amount of money, we will justify it and we can turn up there. Yeah.
We're going to take this Renault Master that's got, like, 150,000 miles on the clock anyway. But no, they were fun days, sleeping in the van and playing the two people. that kind of theme carried on for about 5 years, I think. But yeah, and I think after that then was Straight Lines, where things were a bit slightly more serious.
Yeah.
It was me, well, Dane was in Sad Mike, Dane Campbell, Todd Campbell, and James Pugh, so what I went to college with. But yeah, we recorded an album before we had a band, so we were kind of, it was just like a project in the garage, and then things did happen quite fast, I think, because we kind of like recorded the album first and then kind of sent it out to a few people, and we got signed then to like Extra Mile. They put the album out, and yeah, it was obviously with Dane and Todd Stan being in Motorhead. He was like, oh, come on tour with us. I was like, what? playing like Hammersmith Apollo. And then, but I mean, it went, we done like those four shows, and we done like loads of.
How did that work? Like, how did you feel that you went down with the Motorhead crowd?
It was, I mean, you listen to that stuff. I mean, it kind of gets heavy in parts, I guess. But yeah, they weren't like booed off. I mean, one stupid thing I did too, we were like playing, I think it was Hammersmith Apollo, and I was, it's like this one part of the song, like a bit of kick drum, and I just done it on the floor. And I was like, yeah, put your hands in the air, like to clap to the click drum, and it was the kick drum, and it was just like, no. A couple of hands come out, you know, a couple of middle fingers come out of the crowd, and but yeah, that was like, I think it was like 10 years ago, I think. I don't know. Well, it can't be far off. I mean, the years just roll by.
Yeah.
But yeah, we just kind of just toured flat out after that. It was just one of those things. It was just like, I think, we kind of got to like South by Southwest in America, which was kind of cool at the time, because I'd never really been anywhere, you know. Like, I'd kind of the first ever been in my life. Like, you know, just go down the rugby club or whatever. Yeah. And then all of a sudden you kind of... you know, touring all over the place. So it was a bit of a shock to the system as well.
Yeah, next minute you're in Austin, Texas.
Yeah.
Like, well, how am I allowed you?
Yeah, I know, it was literally. Oh, I can't remember if it was... we like almost like broke up before we went. So we've been like touring for like 5 weeks flat out. We've been, I think we were out with like went on tour with In Me, The Automatic, and we'd done like a headline run. And and then like at the end of this, then it was like to go South by Southwest. And we just all had to like guts for each other because it was like the first time we'd been in that kind of environment for like that period of time.
Well, yeah, I guess if you're recording the album before you're playing together, it's...
Yeah. So it's like, obviously, like...
It's strange and it's new.
Yeah, like, it was just great for me because I was like, we get drunk every night. And, like, the Automatic invite us on the tour bus for, like, 2 weeks. It was just ups, you know. It was just like, well, I'm a rock star now. It's like, it's done.
That's it.
Done deal, like. Yeah. So...
Bring on the cocaine. Bring on the strippers. Where are they? I thought they'd be here by now. Yeah.
Bring on the Carlsberg. It was quite... I don't know, that tour was quite funny as well because we went to a... karaoke bar completely tucked up. It was one of those where they play the music video and the song.
Yeah.
So a couple of people in the bar, and then obviously I had to put on like Monster by the Automatic, and he was just like, oh no. I was like, come on, you gotta do it. We're on holidays. Yeah. Come on, don't be boring.
That's it, man. On tour.
So yeah, the bar staff are just like looking, and everyone's just like, oh, that is the actual band. That is the top single. Like so we like have this massive bust up, and then we like in the morning, like, right, okay, we're not going to South by Southwest now. It's kind of whatever, we're just arguing. And ITV like banging on my door. It looks like we come off tour the night before, and then the next morning, then we just kind of, doing this interview with ITV, like, yeah, I can't wait to go, Austin. It's going to be amazing. And it was just like, well, I'm not going. But we managed to sort it out, and we went. It was good fun. It's just one of those. Cool things to be a part of, I guess.
Yeah,
so, nice.
Awesome. Yeah, well, since then, I think you've all kind of gone onto your own projects. Straight Lines is quieted down a lot. I think it's safe to say you've done your own projects. The rest of the guys have been touring with their father, Phil Campbell's all-star band. No, it's changed name, though.
No, it's the Bastard Sons.
Phil Campbell and the Bastard Sons now, so, hopefully we'll get Phil on at some point. Yeah, that'd be quite good.
Nice.
I'm sure he's got at least 4 stories.
They're pretty good 4 stories. Yeah. Like,
I've heard stories about Phil.
I actually seen him yesterday morning. And I dropped some like stuff off at the house, and he was like, "Oh, I got any jump leads on you?" I was like, "No." So it's like me and
Redman asked me for jump leads.
Yeah. And then it was like me and Tyler like pushing him around his like car with the flat battery on the drive. And it's like, yeah, people probably would pay to do that.
It's mad, isn't it?
You kind of forget what. Legacy that band have, it'll never be forgotten, I don't think. So
I don't know if there'll be bands probably that big anymore. I don't know if they're going to get...
I don't know, yeah, they were just, you know... But no, it was cool to be part of that kind of thing. They're doing their own thing, but I mean, that was a kind of, like, thing about, like, Straight Lines, I think. Like, we always talk about it, it's like, oh, like, it's kind of funny how you measure success, I guess, and... like for us, it was like a success. I mean, you know, we'd done like some cool stuff, and we'd done some cool tours. We, I remember just like jamming like the President's the United States song, Millions of Peaches in like a classroom when I was a kid. And then like, obviously we got to like tour with them then a few years.
That's awesome.
Later, which was like fun. And like Dame was like massively into them. But, that was a really good, it's like a good, like little, you know, thing to look back on and, various other tours and stories, but we've slept on the floors of people's houses, and we kind of done all that, like slept in the van in the freezing cold. So then to me, they like say, you know, they kind of humbled now to be like in tour buses and going around the world, I guess. It's pretty they're doing great, to be fair.
What brought about the end of Straight Lines?
Technically we're kind of,
it's just hiatus, yeah, just,
I guess, I don't know, like I think we would like to go back to it. It's just I guess it's like we don't really talk about it in a sense of like, oh, get back together, but I think like, yeah, it's definitely maybe one day we'll like go on if can like clear our schedules I think.
But, yeah, the door's not shut on it, but
no, definitely just... not. I mean, like, Todd's got the studio. I mean, like, I guess the kind of unique thing about Straight Lines is produced our own albums, like, recorded them ourselves. Like, Pee-wee was in the band. We'd done, he'd done all the artwork. So, yeah, it was kind of a...
nice little self-contained project.
Yeah, it was, yeah. So, Yeah, but in terms of like, yeah, those guys now, they're doing really well. And it'd be kind of a shame if they weren't doing anything because, I don't know, as most people know, they're pretty incredible musicians. Yeah. It was kind of a bit daunting being in a band like that because I was just like really scrappy on guitar. But they like, yeah, Fair Play to Tardy kind of pushed me to kind of be a better musician and kind of better singer. And yeah, so probably I was in the studio with Todd on Friday recording some covers, actually. Ooh. So
what for? Anything in particular?
Nothing really, just never done any covers. And nice. It was kind of an excuse to just kind of go see the boys. So yeah, we were, yeah, we done a Stereophonics cover.
Nice, which one?
Local Boy.
Good.
Phoebe Bridges. Nice. Motion Sickness. And the
Slayer, Angel.
And Slayer, yes.
On acoustic guitar.
Yeah, God, no, I had a Band of Horses cover. Nice. So yeah, it was fun. So, but yeah, I guess the kind of annoying thing about Straight Lines, it kind of never really, we kind of, you know, we put as much as we could into it, but it kind of just never really got to that next level, which is like fine. I don't like look back on those years and like, oh, you know, that was a waste of time. It was a, you know, amazing time, and yeah, one looked like fondly on, but it was just yeah, we were kind of like a band's band, I guess, for like quite a while. I mean,
yeah, I think Canterbury had that as well.
Yeah,
I think that all bands loved Canterbury.
Yeah, yeah,
but somehow like kids, well, a lot of kids did latch onto them, but I just think not enough did, and they should have been
bigger than
Coldplay. Well, Luke was down my house on Friday, and we're just kind of like talking about it. And I remember, like, I was like, "Oh, I loved your band." You know, we're just drunk down the pub, just like licking each other's asses. And he's like, "I was like, oh, I remember the first time you heard like Canterbury, and I was just like obsessed." And they were like, "Oh yeah, I remember the first time you heard your band." They were like recording their album and all this, you know. But yeah, it kind of got a bit out of control, I guess, because it's kind of funny because I remember we were playing like Slam Dunk Festival, and the guy from While She Sleeps came up to me, and he was like, "Oh, we took your album to our producer to like reference the kind of like back in the like choir sounds then on the first album." Oh. So that was always kind of, and I was like, "What did that actually happen? Like, was I just like so drunk last night?" I just like, and then they kind of, it's like a tour video of them like singing one of our songs in a car park. And I think it was another one, like one of our songs ended up on a Mice and Men tour video.
Nice.
Ryan Richards was like, "Oh yeah, they're like your band and stuff."
It's
just
weird.
Like, yeah, it's just like,
yeah, it must be really weird crossover to see, because you know those bands are quite, you know, heavier,
yeah, yeah,
metal-y kind of bands. So to have that crossover must be kind of cool.
Yeah, but I guess it was kind of a bit the charm of our music as well. I guess I'm kind of blowing my own trumpet here, but it was kind of appealed to. Yeah, to like, I don't know, kind of like spanned across the, I remember like, I think like Max from You Meet Six turned up at one of our shows once. I remember just having an argument on the merch desk. He's like, "Oh, I want to buy a t-shirt." I was like, "No, you just have a t-shirt, please."
Yeah.
But,
please, wear it in some form.
Yeah, yeah, just wear it for the next.
Like, in fact, use the 15 quid you were going to pay for it. Please wear it. That's all
right. Yeah, so yeah, we were like just kind of putting that band's band kind of thing. Yeah. But yeah, we got like a few tours out of it and stuff. I mean, it went too bad. Yeah. But yeah, the yeah, there was a lot of fun. It's like, I mean, obviously just like talking from like a small band like perspective is like, I always felt that like we had like when we played festivals, it was like small band syndrome. So you'd be like, you'd like finish work on like a Thursday, you'd be like going to play a Download Festival on like the smallest stage. Yeah. You're like, well, excited. You got your tent and your like pack of like 40 cans of a Ranji Boom, box of Space Raiders.
Festival favorite.
Yeah. And then you kind of like rock up this festival. And then all of a sudden you're just like in a like compound in a field with like loads of famous people.
It's mad, isn't it?
Yeah. And you're just there. You just think you're the shit, don't you? You're just like, wee. But
I think a lot of people listening to this really appreciate like these stories where we're just normal people.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like I say on this a bunch of times, I've been in rooms with people I should not have been allowed in rooms with. I went to a thing in Australia and it ended up backstage. Chris Jericho was doing spoken word, right? And Ian and Scott Ian from Anthrax.
Yeah.
It was Chris Jericho, Scott Ian, Kerry King from Slayer, Duff from Guns N' Roses, me and my friend Scott from Eartha Tydfil. yeah, backstage in a room. And me and him were just looking at each other like, bro, there's fucking five fellas off magazine, like posters in magazines we fucking had.
Yeah, I know.
This is
mental.
Yeah. But it was, yeah, it's just wild. So, yeah, no, no. Yeah, you were saying about like that.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, like I guess like, yeah, you just think you're awesome. You're like, I remember just like saying some really cringy stuff once. Like, I think it was like Download or something, but like, yeah, give it up for our good friends at Aerosmith. And like, it's like,
yes. Yeah.
I mean, like, I think the second time we done Download, we were like, oh, you know, we're like, right, we're playing the next day. We go there in the night. We're like, right, we'll just have a, you know, just take it slow and then we'll, and then, you know, we'll just have it and then just go back to the hotel. But it was like 4 a.m, we were wrecked. I just like vaguely remember singing Kissed by a Rose to a traffic cone through to Ramesh's head by the like taxi rank. Nice. And then all of a sudden it's like, you got to be at the stage at like 10 in the morning. I remember like James was like so hungover that he like played the set on a stool.
No. Oh, wow.
And it was like kind of funny because like, I think it was an acoustic stage we were playing, and we just, it's just like, one, obviously, like small band syndrome again. It's like, got so many of my mates to come. They're like, oh, yeah, guitar tech, bass tech, sound engineer, driver, tour manager. We had none of those things. They were just all there, like, chirping, like, slurping on some cans. And just, yeah, we had a, yeah, they were good times, though, you know. Can't beat a good old festival.
What happened between the end, well, not the end of stream, but the last Straight Lines gig, and now, what have you been up to?
Yeah, so I can't remember the last Straight Lines gig. We don't release
was
a Christmas.
It 2000 Trees?
Yeah, we were talking about this earlier.
Oh, yeah.
So
it was
what he reckons he was there.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll remember, we'll say that's the last one, I think. The other ones were a bit. Yeah, 2000 Trees. It was probably like the last like full on band show we done. Tyler, so it was the three Campbell brothers in the band then at this point. So, yeah, that was just, we hadn't done it, so the last time we released an album was 2012, and then 2014 done an EP, so, what year would that have been, 2017 maybe?
Yeah, 16,
yeah, so yeah, it was like, we hadn't done anything for a while, and the tent was like rammed, and everyone's singing along, just like, bloody hell.
Where have you been all these years?
Yeah, I know. It was like, maybe we should just do less. Just let's do less of what we're doing. Let's do, like,
one gig a year in Wembley Stadium.
Yeah, oh God. I know. How many of my mates can we get in there?
Security for me this week.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, that was probably, that was a real highlight. I mean, that festival's amazing. I mean,
Yeah, well, I was going to say there's a story from that set where you doing your patent famous conga line.
Oh, yes, yeah.
And there's actually a photo 2000 Trees posted that year of the conga line going out of the tent.
Yeah,
and
that's
right. Bam in the center is me.
Wow. So, poster boy for the conga line.
Oh, there we are, Mark. Yeah, I'm glad it worked out well for you.
Yeah.
It's famous now. Right. That's what got on this podcast, actually. I saw a photo.
Yeah.
I saw that photo and I went, I need him.
What, for my conga line skills?
I just saw your face and I was like, that guy would be perfect on podcast. I haven't heard his voice. I haven't heard him speak. He can probably say journalist. Oh, no, he can't.
No, I can't, no. Piss. But I got the face.
He's watching a very good band.
Yeah. He's watching a good music taste. He can be on the podcast.
But I think, like, once we got to... I think when we got to that point, we were like... We were like, you know, class. It was like a really good band then. I mean, the first couple of years it was a bit sketchy. I wasn't very good, and you kind of like, you just end up like drinking and don't really care or whatever, and you kind of lose your voice. But then you kind of like teach yourself the, you know, to look after yourself a bit better, and obviously put on a good performance. And so yeah, we kind of it was quite funny because the boys had just come off that Slash tour, Guns N' Roses tour. Sorry,
nice.
So they'd just been doing, quite a big band. They were doing some stadium shows out in Europe. So, yeah, I always kind of found it a bit weird. It's like, oh, yeah. So they just come off this, like, stadium tour and then down to, like, played a few, like, clubs and then onto 2000 Trees then. But, they loved her as much as, you know, that, I'd imagine.
Nice.
So they say. But, so now, I kind of just went through a period of, like, well... I don't really need music in my life, for kind of, you know.
Yep, I went through that as well.
Yeah, so I guess I've always wanted to do like a solo album. And it'd been in the pipeline for a long time. We've been jamming it for like, oh, I don't know, like 7 years, like building up to this with friend Lewis Isaac and Danny Owen, who were in a band called Safari Gold, Cardiff band. Yeah, so we started putting it together, and the, at the end of, I think it was like 2017. So, we're just kind of like a few things, like building up to it. So I've just missed out a whole like part year. So didn't really do music for like a while, and then
yeah, you went abroad, didn't you?
Yeah, that's right. So yeah, so I went off shearing sheep then for a while. So nice. Out of New Zealand. So I was kind of like, I don't need music in my life, and kind of went out there working. It's kind of something I'd like, obviously farming's like a big part of my life, so like yeah, went out there, kind of lived in like in the outback a bit, in this like, on this like massive farm that was like 2 hours from like the nearest town, like no phone signal, and it was cool, you know.
I remember seeing a lot of your videos from that time on and stuff, and it was awesome.
So I was kind of like, all right, don't need music in my life, I'm doing this new thing now, this is cool. And yeah, just like one day I was like, this, I just need to like just go and buy a guitar or something, like, you know, I'm just kind of like kidding myself here. Yeah. So yeah, kind of drove like to the nearest town. It's like a full day trip, and music shop was closed by the time.
Obviously, as it was.
Yeah. So anyways, I managed to like get this job, then up another job was on the North Island, like New Zealand's like split into two islands, and yeah, as I managed to like go into this music shop and buy one, yeah. So just started like writing all these songs, you know, when you're like secluded, I guess. Yeah. Kind of. So yeah, and a lot of that stuff is now on this album that I've recorded. So yeah, so from like New Zealand, like working out there, and then just like writing and getting back to music, and it was kind of interesting, really, because I like work like a lot of Maori people, like in the like shearing sheds, and they like massive part of their culture is music and like reggae, and they just like just be like listening to music all day, and just be kind of like, you kind of like realize how much like music does like mean to people, and kind of like, oh well, you know, I kind of didn't even tell anyone, but like, oh yeah, I used to do that, and in my head, but like, oh, maybe people kind of felt the same. You're in my songs or whatever. So, so yeah, we kind of. Kind of come home, and then done a little EP, and then kind of stopped then for a while. Just like, I don't know, you just kind of like lost confidence in myself, I guess. I don't know, it's just weird kind of, sounds a lot more dramatic than what it is. Just kind
no,
of.
I think was, we are, no, I think we all go through that though. I think if you have time off and then you do something, you just, well, like now, like we've just released a song.
Yeah,
my new band.
Very good song.
Yeah, you know, we were all like, will people give a shit?
Is it? Yeah, good? Yeah.
Because the four of us have just been jamming it for like 9 months. So,
yeah.
You know, is it any good to anybody just, outside the four?
Just a bit of self-doubt, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
We all get it.
Oh, that was just a huge part of it. I mean, like, I had like complete confidence in the songs. It was just kind of like, oh, do I really like want to put myself like back out there? Like, but anyways, previous to that, I met a guy from America, a producer, Elijah Ford, and we've like been friends for like a few years now. I did my only tour driving job around Europe, which was, his dad was in the Black Crowes, which are a pretty big band, like, about 30 million albums, I think. So yeah. So yeah, his father was Mark Ford, and I like drove them around Europe and just ended up staying friends with them after the tour, and just kind of put him up when he was like over this way touring, and I think about 2 years ago then he was like touring with the Killers, and
have you heard of them?
Like,
another
one?
Bloody
hell. As in like one of the support bands, he's like session guitarist, and yeah, he was like, oh, I'll come up to London, and I was like, oh cool, you know. So yeah, we just kind of talking, but he's like, oh, are you doing anything? I'm like, oh no, really. And then he's like, oh, send me some demos or whatever, and yeah, they kind of like the ball started rolling there then, and yeah, ended up, the ball rolled all the way to Texas.
The ball started rolling and ended up in Texas. Nice.
Yeah, so kind of like, it was about this time last year, we went up to London. It was like a Mighty Ducks film. I like rung up Luke. I don't know, he's just like, it's like, grab the bass, Luke. We're going to do this. So I hadn't like really seen Luke for over the years. It's a couple of years, I've only seen him about once. So it was, I see him all the time, which is awesome. So yeah, because I love Canterbury and they were like one of my favorite bands, and I was like, I always wanted to do something with them. And yeah, we was kind of me, Elijah, and Danny then kind of just got in a room and did like a full day of pre-production, and I come out after like about 12 hours, I think it was. And I was just like, yeah, I think we got enough songs for an album. Cool. So he was like, I'll fly over and we'll do the album in like Bristol or somewhere. They knew someone had a studio. But then they'd like built this studio then in Fort Worth in Texas. And I was like, well, I'm just going to try and get the money together and, you know, make this, make it worthwhile. So, I mean, it just sounds great when you go down the pub. Yeah. You're like, what have you been up to? I just been on the States recording an album.
Oh, I tell you what.
They're like, you must be famous. I'm like, no, I'm a cheap farmer.
Oh, boys, I tell you what, I've been a struggle. I've been in Fort Worth in Texas this week. Eating big burgers and that. The sun was out.
It was
actually freezing.
Was it?
Yeah. But speaking of the rodeo, the guy who owned the studio, he was they're all like ex-bull riders, like craziest people you've ever met. And the guy that is like, he'd fallen off a bull and the bull had like stepped on his face and like ripped all his skin off. Ooh. Like, yeah.
What could you see in?
No, I mean, it's all healed up. No, I didn't really notice it. He was kind of like Kurt Russell. He's a really cool guy, to be fair. Yes. But, so yeah, we went over. I think we were over there for 2 weeks. But it was kind of he was kind of interested in my sound because he'd never recorded anything. I mean, it's more on the indie side of things, I guess. His kind of production was more in like country and Americana. So we just kind of like found this like middle ground, and we were just. We kind of wanted it to like sound like really natural. We didn't want any like samples on the drums or the songs or like produced. So it was like, I think it was like Murray was talking about it from the excerpts. Like it's just like verse, chorus, just like songs are just instant. And so that was the kind of like vibe. But yeah, they had all these like vintage amps and guitars, and we kind of just wanted that kind of old sounding, like quite a lot of character to it. I mean, it kind of like sways in and out off the like the click, you know, it kind of like sounds like people are playing it in a room then. So, but yeah, it was an amazing experience. We drank a lot of beer like the whole time. It was like the first day, and Luke was like, oh, we've been jamming now for like 4 hours. Like, oh, do you think I can have a beer? I'm like, oh, crack on, bud. I've had about five. It's in this vocal booth, no one can see in. But no, it was, so yeah, I think we were like really happy with it because it was like nothing they'd ever done before, which I kind of there's like the stigma about indie music, I think, in Texas because it's so like country, like so much country music, and he's like, oh well, you know, bands have just had to move out to town because you know they're because they're not country.
It's mad, isn't it?
Yeah, it's crazy.
So yeah, we like played a gig there as well. It's our first ever show. And this bar down in Fort Worth, and it went on really well. It was kind of, everyone's like, oh my god, you're like, we never heard anything like that before. It's like,
all we listen to is country.
Yeah, it is. It's kind of, that's all it is.
It's just Garth Brooks and Garth Brooks. That's it.
Willie Nelson.
What is this?
It is. It's mad to think how popular one genre is in
that area.
And as you said, it's so popular that if you don't sound like that, you're better off not being there.
Yeah, it's. I mean, there's a massive scene. I mean, I guess it's kind of like saturated, most.
What did they think of your accent over there?
I
was amazed by it, or they didn't.
We used to go to this like dive bar by the studio, and it was kind of like you would not like give your opinion on Donald Trump, but you like you pick your fights, you just shut your mouth. It was kind of one of those like bars, and like we went in there, and this girl like. Like kicks open the door, like just like smoking outside, and she's like, "Hope you like girls big and full of cheeseburgers." And I was just like,
"No, I don't." Oh, I was
like,
"That's a shame."
Well, thank you for the offer, but she's like, "Where are you from?" Like Wales. She was like, "Oh, Princess Diana's my girl." I was just
she's
like,
"My home girl."
Yeah, and Luke was like, love, do you realize she's, you know, she passed away like 20 odd years ago? Do you know, just in case you thought she was still
kicking on,
you know, still with us.
I heard from her for a while, but I bloody love her. Number one fan.
Yeah, it was kind of random.
What's she up to then?
So yeah, they didn't really, I don't think they were like really that like, bothered about where, to be honest, and we didn't really be like, oh my God, how dare you?
Yeah, every time we'd say Wales to people in America, they'd be like, oh, in England?
Yeah.
I'd be like, no, that's like me calling you Mexican.
Yeah.
You don't like that, do you? No. You're Mexican? No. It's because it's the country next door. We're the country next door.
Yeah, or Canadian, I don't know. But yeah, it was kind of, there's not much fuss about the accent, I don't think. Mm-hmm. But no, we had a great time out there.
How many songs did you do out there?
17.
Oof.
Nice. Yeah, we done some interludes as well. It was kind of like minute and a half songs. It kind of got really weird. So we kind of, the album goes like really happy, goes really sad, kind of goes a bit middle road, and then you just got these like weird interludes. Then kind of call them like heroin music.
Nice.
So yeah, I kind of wanted to make it, even though it was like the idea was like 3 minute pop songs. Weird, you know. They're not like completely all in that structure, but yeah, we wanted to make it a bit interesting as well. And like Danny plays in Safari Gold, it's like amazing on keyboards, just got such a like vast knowledge of sounds. We like hired in this keyboard for him, this Juno 80, I think it was. And yeah, he just got to work on that and just started making things like really weird. And then Elijah played like lead guitar on the on the album, which was cool because he's just like session guitarist. And yeah, it's probably saved me another week. Like,
so with all that now, what's the actual plans and the details of the record? You've just released the first single, but have you got a proper plan now going forward with?
Well, it technically wasn't a single. I just wanted to get something out. It was just like an acoustic song on the off the session, really. I think the end of May is like the first song that comes out, Drovers. Album exclusive. And the album's called nice. Misery and Comfort.
Nice.
So
is it just Tom Jenkins then, or is it?
Yeah, it's just Tom Jenkins. It's just kind of just to not confuse matters, I don't think. I was going to do that and the, you know, and the band, but Scream Dogs, we call ourselves, for because we just think it's funny. I don't know if anyone else does, but yeah, we're it's a very band sounding album. But yeah, hopefully it'll be out by the end of, towards the end of the year then, I imagine like October, November. So,
nice. Do you have a label for it?
Well, no, I mean, the people who own the studio got a label and they're kind of interested in doing it. Just kind of figuring out how it's going to kind of work with like American label. Because obviously I'm like unknown virtually, like this solo thing. So it's, it's pretty... It'd be interesting to kind of see how that works. Hopefully, like a tour of Texas.
That'd be all right.
Run out of every town. So down indie kids again.
Yeah, it wouldn't be bad though, would it?
Oh, no. It can be a nightmare over there.
Right? Yeah, so, they'll be out there. So we've got a couple of dates coming up now, just through...
do you know them off the top of your head?
Or? Yeah, May the 24th, I think, is Globetrotters in Pontypridd. And the night before that, the 23rd, playing the Knowlton Corner, Bridgend. And then on the Sunday, the 26th, is the Cafe Kino, Bristol. So,
nice.
Yeah, we're kind of looking forward to, just doing some more shows again. Because we've done a few shows with Liam and Alf, We Are The Ocean.
Oh, yeah, you did the tram shed in Cardiff, right?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. So it was great, like, seeing all them guys. Because I remember, like... it's been good. Like, everyone's just, like, coming back around doing their own thing now, like, after their bands. So it's kind of, come on, let's meet up and go out and do some shows.
It's mad, isn't it? It's kind of been, like, a...
It's like the second coming of that scene.
of everyone again, though.
Post-emo, we've been calling it.
Yeah. I disappeared for 5 years. I've come back with this and my band. Like, you were back, Liam's back. I don't know what's going on with Young Guns, but I'd imagine something's coming. I got a feeling.
Yeah, hopefully.
But yeah,
good,
it's
guys.
Mad, isn't it? Alid's in a band. Well, he did the Chaperone band.
Yeah,
that's right, well, yeah.
Yeah, everyone's doing their own things. And I don't think anyone would have expected them to do the things they're doing back
mad,
then.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
Mad. Good. Good to hear.
But no, it's... I think you said, like, I just got this habit of, like, befriending, like, bands I go on tour with. So it was always, like... usually everyone I like go on tour with, they end up kind of just like meeting up with them or doing something like, it's like for Frost from the Automatic, we kind of had a little band going after that tour. I think they're like, obviously done this, like, me and Luke are obviously in a band. We toured to Canterbury, me and Luke are doing this.
Yeah. Who's in the band all together now?
Well, it's obviously Luke Breville from Canterbury and Danny Owen and Lewis Isaac from Safari Gold. And obviously Elijah lives in America, which, like, played, was kind of technically in the band, yeah. I guess. But, you know, if we do, I think we're looking to do like a tour at the end of the year. If nice. Things are like, and hopefully we'll get him over to kind of
sweet.
Do some shredding. And but he's got his own solo stuff as well. So he's like, amazing songwriter. So maybe he'll come over and do a few shows as well. And
I was going to say, he could come over and do Double Bubble, couldn't he?
Yeah.
If he's supported.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Make it worthwhile, yeah. You know. Might have nice. To pay him then, yeah. Hopefully. Yeah. No, I'm joking. But I'm joking. Sorry, Elijah. So yeah, I mean, it's just kind of all these people like over the years and kind of, yeah, just like meet up and connect and kind of, yeah, talk about being creative, I guess, and all that kind of stuff, you know.
Nice.
And, but no, it's good fun.
Yeah, and you were really kind enough to let me and Sean have a little sneak peek of the record.
No worries.
But one thing I do want to bring up, there's a track called Tom Jones.
Yes.
Now, we've mentioned multiple times how much Sean loves Tom Jones.
Big fan of Tom Jones.
So what was the reasoning behind that?
Well, the song's not about how much you hate Tom Jones, is it?
Oh, hell no.
Oh, good.
Well, I'm Tom Jones from Pontypridd. I'm from Pontypridd. It's a great starting point. he basically just like, I got to this point of just like, I don't know, in my life, I was just kind of like, oh, well, if this kind of happened, well, if this went this way, then, you know, you're like, shoulda, woulda, coulda. So the kind of song, and I always like mess up when I'm trying to explain it, but like, it's this kind of like, it's a song about just like, just stop being like so sorry for yourself. And like, it kind of, I don't know, just tells this story about this guy, basically kind of myself, I guess. And his kind of thing is, oh, well, you know, yeah, I could have been the next Tom Jones. Like, it's kind of like, yeah, it's a really like depressing song, to be fair. It kind of sounds funny, but it was like, I think that'll be probably one of the more like popular songs on there. It's kind of piano-y ballads, kind of.
Imagine if Tom Jones finds out about it and covers it.
That would be great for PR. I won't have to, like, you know, work as much as them. I mean, just a minimum wage offer would be fantastic.
Instantly clock me red. Oh, PRS.
It was called I Could Have Been the Next Tom Jones, but I supported the guy from The Enemy. I forgot his name. So anyways, like the crowd, it's like proper, like, you know, laddie kind of like, you know, proper, like just proper get into it and love it. Like The Enemy, they're like massive, weren't they? And it was just like awesome, like seeing that. They're like a rowdy crowd. There's like cans flying everywhere.
It's like
so I'm just
football.
Yeah. It's awesome. And I was like, oh shit, I'm just not sure how this is going to go down. And I was like, oh, this song's called I Could Have Been the Next Tom Jones. And this voice from the back goes, no, you fucking couldn't have. So, I was like, I'm probably going to change the title. It's just a Tom Jones.
Just a Tom Jones. I'm going to come to a gig now, and you go, oh, this next song's called Tom Jones. I'm gonna be like, no, it's not. That's not his name.
Yeah, well, it was kind of funny because like, it's like this slow, depressing song, and it's like you listen to the lyrics, and you're kind of like, it's a bit heavy, really. And when we like doing production, Elijah was like, yeah, we're just gonna like folk this up now, I'm gonna make like really happy. And we're all like, no,
don't touch it.
So you're like, oh, I'll try this and try that. So we didn't, we kind of won in the end.
Nice.
We're like, look, mate, this gotta be really sad and depressing. But they did, there was a drummer in the who kind of was part of the studio, and we were recording. He kind of like comes through the door and he's like, boys, you gotta put this like Americana beat on the chorus. He was like a drummer in a band for a guy called Ryan Bingham. He's like a pretty like massive country artist out there, like won a Grammy and an Oscar as well. Nice. For the in the film Crazy Heart, like Jeff Bridges in. It's quite a...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so anyone's seen that film. Yeah. So, yeah, that's the... Elijah was in the band with him as well. So they kind of got all this kind of rich, like, you know, history behind them then in the music scene in Texas. Mm.
Awesome.
And it's kind of cool. It's kind of, like, crossed over onto my album, I guess. So, yeah, Thank you.
It's mad, isn't it, to have influences from everywhere, really.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, it was kind of, you can hear a lot of, like, we were like in the studio, like, oh my God, that sounds like a bit like Canterbury. Because Luke's obviously, like, harmonizes a lot on the album. And it's been amazing that, like, the last 10 years, all these people have met on the road and kind of can just kind of put it all together into this album. So that was a kind of like, oh, this is nice.
Yeah. It's crazy, really, isn't it?
So
yeah, but yeah, as you said, it must be nice to have like a combination of all those influences of people you've met over the years and actually just put that into one
thing. Yeah, it's mad when you think about it that, you know, you're not in a band with just four of the boys from Ponty, Jeremy.
Well, yeah, that was, yeah, which I've always been in. I never even recorded with anyone else other than Todd. So, but like Todd's amazing. I mean, God, like, you know, I've like learned so much off him and yeah, I'd... yeah, his stuff is like, you know, incredible, and I'm sure he's just going to keep on growing as a producer. But like, yeah, I'd never been with anyone before that. So yeah, it was kind of like I've only been with one person. I might not be very good.
Yeah, be gentle.
This is my second time.
I've only been to Todd's garage. At his new studio.
I've never done it in Todd's garage before.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah, looking about. So yeah, that's. Cool. So yeah, that's the album, kind of.
Nice.
Oh, nice.
No way.
So are all 17, is it 17 songs on there?
At the moment, yes, but maybe we'll kind of, we'll kind of put a, kind of skim it down a bit. It's always the kind of the like modern day thing now. It's like, oh, you can't have too many tracks on an album. People are only going to listen to three.
Yeah, well, this is what we've, every episode this pretty much comes up. It's like bands are trying to figure it out to release music next.
Yeah. Because
seems like the album coming out all at once isn't really the way, maybe not the way to go.
Well, no,
drip
no.
Feeding seems to be the way to get on playlists and
yeah, definitely. Like it's that. More like all about the singles, I guess. But I just love albums. Yeah. Like I'm not in it to kind of, you know, like forge some career for myself. Yeah. No, I'm just kind of this is.
Just want
it was just something I really wanted to do and. I was just like, why are you just like holding this off just because like you think people are going to think you're like, I don't know, like, I don't know, just, yeah. I don't know, what are people going to think? Like, you know, just all these things run through, they're going to think I'm a knob because I'm like releasing music, which is far from the,
it's far from it. Yeah, but when you think, it's daft, isn't it? It's like, yeah, we think like, I would think, oh, you know, people think we're stupid, but it's like, that's the dream job for some people. Like, if you talk to my friend who's a postman,
yeah,
you could go, oh, you could front a band, you'd be like,
well, yeah, well, that's it, yeah. So, Sarah, you gotta like,
we have these doubts about ourselves, yeah. It's just, yeah,
it's how you like measure success. Like, you know, I kind of look back on what we've done with Straight Lines, and you know, we've done like two albums, and yeah, you know, you gotta like go to different countries, and you got to, you know, travel around a van with your mates, and it was great. Obviously, there's like loads of shit times, and you know, you kind of argue, and it's just the way it goes,
the
like, you know,
down.
Yeah, so, but no, it was, as I said, yeah, you just got to kind of just stop, like, putting yourself down, I guess, in your head and get on with it.
Nice.
Mm. Which is exactly what I'm doing, so.
Good.
Awesome.
Good
album.
Yeah, glad to hear. Yeah. And, yeah, what we've listened to is fantastic, so everybody should definitely check out Tom's work. Yeah, just the one song and the, just the acoustic song just and the video the, at the moment.
Yeah, hopefully by the end of May, we'll have.
What was the song called, sorry?
Under the Eyes of the Moon.
That's it. Under the Eyes of the Moon. Everybody check that out. It's on YouTube.
Spotify and Apple Music as well.
On all the on all those things. Yeah. So awesome. Yeah, that's the album.
Where can people find you online?
I don't have a website, yeah. I guess I'm take myself that serious. Right. I don't know, just like Facebook, you know, find me Tom Jenkins Music, Instagram, I guess. So we're kind of all the stuff happens these days, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
We're doing most of my advertising.
Twitter handle? Have you got a Twitter?
Yeah, I got a Twitter. I don't really use it, though, to be honest. Yeah. I kind of like go on there and everyone's just like talking about politics and stuff. So I'm like,
I'm all right.
I think no one's going to really care about my little acoustic song, you know, and country's going under, apparently. So, you know, I got Tom Jenkins_ I think.
Nice.
On the Twitter, yeah. So, yeah, that's kind of all my social media outlets, I think.
Nice.
Yeah, sweet.
MySpace.
I'm trying to think of anything else. Oh, have you got any funny Motörhead stories from being on tour with Motörhead? Or a funny tour story doesn't have to be with Motörhead. Anything.
Oh, there's a couple. Probably going back to the... when we almost got kicked off Slam Dunk Festival. That was a pretty...
what? What happened?
So basically, I don't know. It was another like small band syndrome kind of moment, just kind of wandering around with a bag of cans, kind of getting drunk, and just on the merch desk, and just ended up like there was this band like next to us, and I can't remember the name. I probably should leave it. And anyways, just kind of just got a Sharpie, and it was me and a flood of red. I think they were, we were talking. So it was us and flood of red. Things are getting a bit like, you know, bit of Celtic spirit going on there. Beers are flowing. And we were just like drawing penises on a poster, and done like three on the merch, and then they come over and caught us, and it was kind of like up in the office, being basically just being told off like a child, which it was just like really childish, and that. So it kind of. I had to go like the next day then, and like apologize to the bands and stuff. But there was like a few of us involved there, and then I kind of like took the brunt. Okay. But, I guess talking about, like when we like toured Motorhead, it wasn't really like, you know, I mean, when you're drinking a rugby club from the age of 16, you're pretty much seeing pretty crazy stuff before you before you're unleashed into the world of rock and roll. But I think we like went to watch Motorhead when we were like 17, and Dane Starr just comes out of the dressing room. He's like, do you want to go to the after show party? Like, oh, yeah. Here I, down the strip club with Lemmy. He's like, all right, then, yeah.
Yeah, just yeah, like, yeah.
Me and all my mates just sit there. I think Dane as well. We're just like, just really just intimidated. We're just like awkward people anyway. So it's just kind of like, oh, God. We're just there because now I can finally tell the story, 12 years later, whatever it was.
Let me just sit in there, just.
I think just sitting at the bar, just like, I think you could smoke. Oh, I mean, he was just smoking like whiskey at the bar, and obviously just doing his thing. But
God rest his soul.
Yeah, I know. And that's the. There'll never be another one like him. But there's. I'm trying to think. What other. We accidentally like stayed like a gangster's house once on a tour.
Wait in now. Explain more of the gangster.
I guess. You know, I would say I'm saying he's a gangster. I'm not going to say any names.
Allegedly,
We were in Liverpool.
Yeah,
and we had nowhere to stay, and our manager, who kind of got arrested through Pine Street line. So I'm not going to go into it anymore. Anyways. Some really dodgy shit went on. So anyways, we kind of ended up, he was like, oh, do you want to
stop this podcast? Let's start again. There's new information's come to light.
So he like organized us to stay with his friend. And we were like, all right, then cool. So then like staying in this like penthouse like apartment. Mm-hmm. So like checking out a few cans now with this guy. And he's just basically just showing us like all his kind of, he got this like phone that like changes his voice. And he's kind of got this like SIM card. Like he's just basically telling us all his business kind of things.
Mad.
And we're just all like, for the fuck's sake, like, why have we ended up here? We're going to die. We're going to leak some information or something, you know. So yeah, you had this like phone that like could change your voice, and you had this like SIM card then that like go in a plug in the, like plug it into the wall, and he could ring it from anywhere and whatever, and just like listen to see if people were like entering his apartment. Mad. And it was
I didn't even know that technology exists.
No, especially back then. How long ago was this?
2011, 2010.
Bloody hell.
Yeah. If you think how much has changed since then, that's scary.
That's nuts.
Wow.
So I mean, it was just like a SIM. It was just a phone, like a speaker. Yeah. But anyways, we just all kind of fucking how we end up here. Because usually we just like, you know, student houses, kitchen floors for like weeks, and then we're like, Dane went to bed early, so we kind of missed all the kind of like gadget stuff. And he's like, what's going on? Like, shut up. We've been bugged. And
Inspector Gadget's listening and then,
like,
to us.
Before we went to bed, it was like, Todd goes, I reckon his son looks like that boy off This Is England, the one like the like main character. So like Dane was like lying in his like Three Lions bed in his duvet, like. So we got out there like 5 in the morning, and that was that was the end of that. But in terms of like other stories, like, there's always just hilarious things that happen on the roads. Like,
that's true, yeah.
Remember I was like out with Canterbury, we were out in like Europe, and the van got pulled over by the police, and they obviously like done a drugs test, and they were like, I had to like pee in a cup in front of this like officer, and like obviously may have like or may not have smoked a bit of something the night before, and I just be like, oh my god, I'm definitely going to prison, like this is it now. Shaking like a leaf. But yeah, there was it's like this kind of thing. I've got to bring my family now and say like, oh yeah.
Hi guys, I'm a German criminal. if you could visit me once a year, that'd be tidy, thank you.
They were like pinned up at the Addis Wallop because the war, and I'd like talk to each other, and they took it very seriously. They had guns as well, which is never. But yeah, that's the kind of fun of being on the road, I guess. Yeah. Are you sure you know, like yourself?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, we've come across some police. My brother was the best. We got stopped at, I think we were at Holyhead, and we were going to get on the ferry to go to Ireland. And my brother, they pulled my brother out of the van he was driving, and they said, I want to look in the back, I want to look at the gear. So they opened it up. He had a look at the gear. And my brother was so nervous. Don't know why. We had nothing on us. Like,
yeah.
He was so nervous. He was like, right then, what does this band sound like? And my brother got nervous. He went, hard rock, hard rock, hard rock. Just shit, hard rock. Hard rock. That's not a genre. Three times, bro.
It probably is in Germany, though, I imagine.
just hard rock.
But yeah, I guess like looking back as well is when you're on tour with Attack, that'd just be like a stag do.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, do you remember that tour we done with you guys? It was the Christmas tour, and we were on a tour bus.
Yeah.
And you were in a van. Yeah. That's like small band syndrome. And do you tell me what it is?
Oh, we did one in America once where we went out with a band called Greeley Estates, and we were the opening band.
Yeah.
And we had a bus, right? And everybody else, the other four bands, had never even seen a bus in the flesh.
Oh, God.
And there's six of us staying on a 12-berth bus, just there's plenty of room. By the end of the tour, they were arguing each night who was going to come and stay on our bus
with each other, because
they didn't want to be in a van.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, the tour bus. But yeah, it does get a bit messy. And I remember Ryan Day, Attack, him just like lying. It got this point that it was like last night the tour had been up for 2 weeks, and I'm there just pouring, he's lying on the table like flat to the back of the lounge, and I'm just like pouring whiskey into his belly button and just like slurping it out. But it was just, they're just like stupid. Just
wild, isn't it?
It was like, good job he just didn't get any bigger, to be fair. It would have just, dude, you just, it was just, no.
It could have ended up in chaos, couldn't it?
I don't think it would have, like, you know, it was just good fun, like, you know, it's like, you know, you work all the time and then you just go on tour then, and just kind of like...
It's like a holiday with the boys.
Yeah, be like, I kind of like want to make a career out of this, I don't really know, I'm just conflicted with, but...
Yeah,
because I think that was the kind of last band I did, like, a few years ago, it was with Ryan, filling in on bass and On Guard.
Nice.
And that was a pretty mad experience, to be fair,
yeah,
just for two
was
shows.
It, yeah, from Kids in Glass Houses was in
On
Guard.
Yeah, he was, yeah.
I enjoyed On Guard.
Yeah, I think Che went off to Japan and I filled in on bass for like two shows, but that was just, those guys are just like proper rock and roll, like, you know, and I was a bit like, all right, okay. But no, all good fun, yeah, so being a band's good fun. And,
sweet. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
It's been awesome.
Yeah, it's been great to hear some
interesting
stories and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, if I was on an arena tour, it probably would have helped more to talk about.
No, but... This is the thing, like, we want to do these and just get people's stories out there. It's not about, like, if, you know, if Duff comes along and does it, Duff McKagan, that'd be tidy. But also, it's people we like, friends, musicians we like, that we want to get on and tell their stories. So thank you for coming on.
No worries, thank you.
Awesome. Everybody check it out. Tom Jenkins. When did you say the album's later this year?
Yeah, it'll be later this year. Probably, I mean,
What was the album
if you made it this far?
Title?
Misery and Comfort.
Misery and Comfort. So check out Misery and Comfort by Tom Jenkins, which will be out later in 2019.
Okay.
Thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you very
much. It's been very fun.
Yeah. Cheers. Thank you, guys.
Cheers.
All the best.
Cheers.
You're
listening to Sammy Podcast! Sweet. So that was the fantastic Tom Jenkins on episode 22 of Sapling Podcast with Sean Smith and my friend Morgan Richards today.
Yes, Amber here. And yeah, it was great to have Tom Jenkins on, just full of great knowledge, stories, and just, I love how his new music is just an influence of the people he's met and all the mad places and
mad,
stories he's had over the years. It was really good to see.
Lovely boy, great voice. And he's got a song out at the moment called Under the Moon's Eyes. Under the Eyes of the Moon. Under the Eyes of the Moon is called, right? And it is fantastic.
Yeah.
His voice is amazing. He's got this crazy, different voice. And it sounds ghostly. And it's amazing. Yeah, I really enjoy it.
Yeah, so. I think a lot of you will enjoy it. And there's a really good video to go along with that on his YouTube as well.
Yes, I think they filmed a load of stuff in Texas and it looks
so
awesome.
So make sure to go and check all that out and keep an eye out for his new album that should be dropping sometime later on now in 2019.
Yes. So before we go any further, we've got some people that we need to thank. And that is the patrons for this week's podcast. They are Emma Barber, Paul Hirschfield, Kylie Wheeler, Scarlett Charlton, Janelle Caston, Melissa O'Shea, Sam Ledgerwood, John Price, Senegals. Bugger. Emily Senegals, Martina McManus, Mark Platten, Marcy Jacobson, Lydia Henderson. Oh my God. Lydia Henderson. I can't read. Scott Jones, Jenny Robinson, Kieran Lewis, Kelly Emma Cannon, and Lucy Deards. Thank you very much, you guys. You help fantastically. Thank you very much. And apart from a lot of you bullying me in the group, thank you. Thank you for existing.
We do really much appreciate you. Sorry, Sean couldn't read for 2 minutes, but I can't say much because I butcher your names as well. But yeah, if you'd like to join that list of the elite Patreons.
The elite, man.
And the support. Elite. And elite. Don't we get sued for that. And and help support us. Patreon.com/sapnin. And as we said earlier on, the lowest tier gets you into the Facebook community group. And there's all different kinds of exclusive tiers and goodies you can get in return for supporting us.
Cool. Well, check that out.
If you're going to check things out, you might as well check us out on social media.
Yes, which is twitter.com/sapninpod or instagram.com/sapninpod, right? So if you've listened to this episode, please take a photo, screen cap you listening to this and put it in your story and please tag @sapninpod so we can share it with the world.
Yeah, we love every weekend when people are sharing it and we can reshare it. It's just
all seven of our listeners have really helped spread this, so thank you very much. And was there anything else, Smoke?
Well, we're going to be very busy now over the next couple of weeks leading into festival season.
Yep.
So again, if there's any suggestions of guests you'd love to hear.
Yeah. Or anybody podcast, you know at a festival we're going to, get in touch with them.
Yeah.
We'll tag us in it.
As I was going to say, we're going to be at Slam Dunk Download, 2000 Trees and Reading Festival.
Nice.
If there's any...
I might go to Leeds.
Well, I'd be awkward because I'll be Reading. And
can't we do a Skype one?
What's the point?
Imagine me and you went to Reading and Leeds and we just did our first episode that's just me and you probably just having a chat. We went all the way to Reading and Leeds Festival. These artists are there. We could get them. We haven't. We're just Skyping each other.
So you and me having a chat and go, oh, go away, Post Malone.
Yeah. Leave it out, will you, Austin? Get out here. You and your friends with your 19 other pilots or whatever.
Who wants to talk? Ooh, Di Grohl wants to talk to us.
David Grohl. There's a Mr. David Grohl at the door. He'd like to speak on the podcast. Tell me to get fucked. I'm talking to Morgan in Reading, and I'm in Leeds. Anyway, let's stop this now, because this could go on. I could do this forever.
Yeah, but anyway, yeah, if there's anyone you'd like us to get on the podcast from any of those festivals...
Tag them, tag us.
Yes.
At Sapnin Pod.
Please, yeah. Or if you're at another festival that is happening across the summer that we're not going to, then we'll... come if you invite us.
If you're in America, Australia or Japan and you're a festival that definitely wants to fly us out there to do it, yes.
Or if you're some company that wants to give us money for doing some sponsors or anything like that, we are also available.
Are you a billionaire? Do you fancy making Sean and Morgan's lives better? You couldn't have picked a better time to check out. Anyway, let's move on. That was episode 22.
We're available for bookings. Anyway, yeah, episode 22...
the fantastic Tom Jenkins. Please check out his music. Under the Eyes of the Moon is the song he's got out at the moment. The album is dropping later this year. And I swear to God, some of you are going to love it. And he's fantastic. Thank you again to Tom for coming down.
Many thanks to him.
Yeah. And that's it?
That's it.
Cool.
Last word, Sean. I'm not going to kill you. You normally say that to me.
Oh, that was the last word. Sorry. Oh.
How do you spell that?
P-F-F-F-F-F-T.
Cool. Sapnin!
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richards. Thank you very much for downloading this podcast or streaming it, or I don't know what else you do with podcasts. Thank you very much.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.